Good morning. I'm Bishop Emeritus John Brodowski, and today is Easter Friday, April 5th, 2024. Our lesson today is from Luke, the 24th chapter, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What started out as an obligation to finish a task that the women only had time to start, they plodded to the tomb on that first Easter morning to anoint a dead body, the dead body of Jesus. They were anointing his body with spices in order to prevent the decomposition of his body from creating a stench. And while they had prepared their spices and were willing to tend to this grief-filled work, they were not prepared for an open tomb. They were unprepared for the vision of angels or the angel's proclamation. And they were overwhelmed by the question, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And the direction of the angels was to remember his words. Remember how Jesus described his suffering, death, and the promise of his resurrection. He said, what he said was going to happen did. He has risen. And not only did they remember his words, but they dropped everything and returned to the disciples. You'll remember the disciples were still gathered together in fear. And the women reported everything they had experienced. But when the disciples heard the report of the women, they dismissed it. These words seemed to them to be an idle tale, Scripture says. And they refused to believe. You see, perhaps their assessment of what the women reported was really the result of their own verdict on Jesus' words when he informed them multiple times about what he was going to face in his suffering, death, and resurrection. You see, I believe the disciples refused to give Jesus' words a place in their heart. His words were too difficult to hear. His words were so emotionally troubling that perhaps it was just easier to think of his words as an idle tale. Now, some define the term idle tale as the ranting of a person suffering from delirium. Others define an idle tale as a story without purpose, without effect, a story that's pointless. a story for which it is impossible to take action. And yet, there was one among them who was prompted to take action. Perhaps Peter, along with the women, did remember Jesus' words, and that sent him running to the tomb in order to determine the accuracy of the report of the women. And Peter saw the empty tomb. He looked in. He noticed the folded grave cloths. And scripture said he went home marveling at what had happened to Jesus and to the women. Is Easter an idle tale for us? A story without purpose or effect? A story for which it's just impossible to take any action? You know, when we get to the book of Acts, we see the powerful transformation Easter had on the lives of each of those disciples. What Jesus accomplished for us in his suffering, death, and resurrection fills us with power, with purpose. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, he prepares us for proclaiming the gospel. The resurrection of Jesus changes everything in heaven and on earth. May it have the same impact on our lives. And everyone who hears the proclamation of this life-giving gospel. It was not, and never will be, an idle tale. Today I'd like to pray with you Luther's Easter prayer of 1533. Let us pray. Almighty God, who through the death of thy dear Son hast destroyed sin and death, and through his resurrection has restored innocence and eternal life, that we, being delivered from the power of the devil, may live in thy kingdom. Grant that we may believe this with our whole heart and steadfast in this faith, ever praise and thank thee through thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grant, dear Lord, that the blessed day of thy holy advent may come soon, so that we may be redeemed from this bad, wicked world and our bodies redeemed from all physical and spiritual misery, and be made like unto thy glorious body, dear Lord Jesus Christ, that we too may at last come to our glorious redemption. Amen.